Yes, I. This song is called Be the Change, inspired by the words of Mahatma Gandhi, who lived for peace and not violence, and told us to be the change we wish to see in the world. Freedom's calling, I feel the fire that's deep inside us. Everybody wants change, but tell me who will guide us. To the leaders that pass away, put up your lighters. It's a beautiful struggle, but it cannot divide us. We're the ones that we've always been waiting for. See yourself in the mirror and open up the door. Walk through it and feel the love throughout your pores. Be the light, life's purpose is to feel joy. Metaphysical, lyrical, setting up a truth. The only one to make change is walking in your shoes. Be the example, don't complain about the news. Making music and serving the world with the loo. Now you can be the same, or you can be the change, find strength from inside, break through the chains. No one to blame, nothing to prove. You create your reality, it's up to you. Be the change
that you wanna see in the world. Like I need live for peace,
aspire to be.
Someone who fights for the beliefs like Martin Luther King,
aspire to be.
That love,
that light,
like Christ,
live right
for the moment and need.
And if you believe
in Jehovah,
Allah,
Buddha,
Krishna,
it's love to me.
Soul yearns for peace in a world that's flooded with war. History's littered with body scars, trying to settle the score to maintain an archaic platform of power and greed. People fight for land out of survival and need. So I'm killing my television and I'm planting a seed to fill my head with knowledge that I'm seeing receive. Due to the media propaganda killing my creed. Oh, what don't kill me make me stronger, feeling strength when I bleed. Fight for interest and forward to attach the feet. They try to sell you anything in this world, nothing for free. Land, air, fire, and water, they keep up in the ante while the anti-proletariat told the powers to be. But we keep fighting, surviving and thriving, recycling and rhyming. We constantly inclining, we see through the lying and applying. They tactically keep trying to keep you from asking the why.
Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Like Gandhi live for peace,
aspire to be.
Someone who fights for the beliefs like Martin Luther King,
aspire to be.
That love,
that light,
like Christ,
this light
for the moment in need.
And if you believe
in Jehovah,
Allah,
Buddha,
Krishna,
it's love to me.
We find solutions, different possibilities, creating organizations like Aspire to Be, inspiring young minds to see, building life skills, nurturing creativity, fulfilling the youth's basic needs, listening actively, teaching the tools to succeed, positive role models we plant to see, the roots drink the water which feed the trees, someone help me, giving back is my responsibility,
be the change that you wanna see in the world, like Gandhi live for peace,
aspire to be,
someone who fights for the beliefs, like Martin Luther King,
aspire to be,
that love,
that light,
like Christ,
this light
for the moment in need.
And if you believe
in Jehovah,
Allah,
Buddha,
Krishna,
it's love to me.
Welcome to the 100th Monkey Radio Show with Tom and Ramon.
That was the Luminaries featuring, what was his name? I was just looking it up.
Oh, hi guys. Welcome to the 100th Monkey with Tom and Ramon. So, yeah, we had a couple issues getting started here, but we have finally made it on.
I think the UFOs
took over the line for a bit, but we got it back.
But you know what happened, Ramon, is we didn't do our clearing, and this is something that I didn't really talk to you about this, but I kind of wanted to do the clearing on the air so that maybe our listeners actually understand that, you know, we do this for every show, and in light of some of the things that I've experienced here in the last couple of weeks, you know, I'd like to share the clearing that I personally use, and you know, I think it might be helpful to some people. So,
yeah, let's give it a go.
Okay, everybody, want to find themselves a nice calm spot. I ask the God of my being, my higher self, to clear the space of all discarnate entities, all dark forces, all separates, all satanics, all negative aliens, and all negative thought forms whatsoever, in all possible dimensions and timelines, here and now, with harm to none. Bless them and send them to real light, to their highest place of being. I ask that they be removed from here, and that they understand that this is our space and time, and that they may not return. I ask for protection from the same and others like them, here and now, with harm to none. Bless and protect this space and time, and fill it with protective real light, here and now, with harm to none. I, for myself and all my relations and incarnations, forgive them and ask that we be forgiven. I trust spirit to include all that I have failed to or neglected to include in this clearing, here and now, with harm to none. In love and light, I thank you all, and in the names of all the powers of real light, so be it, and it is so.
Yay!
So there you have it, guys. That's our clearing, and you know, I had an amazing experience last week with that clearing, Ramon.
What happened?
I was doing a reading for someone, and they had some issues with some entities that were you know, doing the poltergeist thing around them, you know, and, you know, turning things on and off and making weird noises and just kind of pestering them, I found out that they didn't have any sort of clearing practice, so I decided to share this clearing with them. And this was on, I was on Skype doing this, the exact moment that I finished doing that clearing, we got cut off. Skype just completely cut out. I was like, whoa.
What a coinky-dinky.
Yeah. I don't know, one of those things that makes you go, because I called them back. I called him back, and I was like, "You didn't hang up, did you?" No. And it was. So I'd have to say that at least in that case, that clearing did something or other. So
yeah. No, I've definitely been experiencing clearing since I was really young, growing up with my mom. That was always her main focus. You always have to do clearings and stuff like that, even because your own. You know, your own thoughts are pulling in things, and if you know, we all fall into that negative thinking sometimes, and you know, yeah. You start pulling things.
You know, you can walk in a space of clearing. You can walk with a consciousness that is continually clearing, but it really takes that. I found that takes a pretty aware consciousness. I mean, you almost have to walk in awareness. On a constant basis to be able to do that.
But. And that doesn't mean you walk in fear. But before we continue, let me give out the telephone numbers that might be important. We definitely want you guys to call in. So you can, for U.S. and Canada, you can call us at 530-413-9537. That's 530-413-9537. Toll-free number is 888-429-5471. And for those of you who got to go on the run, have to do shopping, can't stay at home, you can listen in on your cell phone at 760-569-7676. And access number is 192919. That's on the website. And also check out our website at www.thehundredthmonkey.com. I was going to mention also that, you know, there's certain people I've met that they've moved so high in frequency that they no longer have to do clearings. And, of course, that's where we want to get.
That's basically what I was talking about there.
I was reading you telepathically, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
But you want to get some of the news we got?
Yeah, sure. Let's go. Go ahead and go with those. That box is so.
Yeah, I'll start
that thing's with that. That's weird. That's just flat out weird.
You mean like the kind of stuff we talk about here?
Well, a little bit.
On the West Coast, they found these UFO sighting reveals more strange metal boxes along the coastal beach. These boxes, if you look at the news and just bring it up on our website, scroll down, you'll see a picture of Tom. When you scroll down, like halfway down, and he starts, and you know, we have the news up there. They found like these weird metal boxes that have this humming sound. And what I would like to find out is what kind of frequency is it giving off? Because we all know that there's a lot of things you can do with frequency, and there's some great work like the late Dr. Rife, you know, and the Rife machine.
Raymond Rife, yeah.
Yeah. Not Raymond Almonte, but Raymond Rife.
Yeah, right. So those aren't there a lot of UFO sightings around those boxes too?
Yes, there's definitely a lot. And here's I'll read this part to you guys. They can't be moved even when yanked by a four-wheel drive truck pulling on the heavy chains tied around these humming metal boxes that are still appearing as of February 8th up and down the West Coast beaches. So if anybody has seen this, especially for those Cali listeners, please take a picture and send it to us. And if you're the intuitive type, please let us know what you feel of these boxes. So these boxes there to help maybe calm something down that, you know, is expected or the opposite. You know,
I don't know. That's just a big question mark. I mean,
what's your feeling on it, Tom, before we move on to it?
You know, I just don't know, Ramon. I just don't know. Monitoring comes into my mind for some reason, but I don't know.
Big question. Yeah. Do you believe it's off world? Or do you think that's something, you know, that we're experimenting
with? That's still I don't know. I think I almost feel I feel terrestrial, but
why don't you know, Papa?
No, I feel terrestrial. I feel something here. But I don't understand. But you know, what would our organization or whatever you want to call them, what would they be placing these boxes in plain sight on a beach for? You know, why not drop them out? You know, bury them in the sand at least. You know, or maybe they have to have, you know, I don't know. Big question mark.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, it's a really big thing that they're humming. Because
yeah,
we know from
going on with them, it's either reactionary from something going on in our atmosphere, or it's projecting something, you know, one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of Tesla's work when he had the little frequency machine, and I think he had like a little metal, weight, and he was able to dial into the frequency of the building. And then according to legend, after 3 days, he was making the entire block shake. So, you know, not pushing any fear, just wondering, you know, is it to prevent an earthquake, cause an earthquake? Only time will tell. Let's see what happens. But, I mean, it's quite amazing that it can't even be moved by, you know, by a four.
It doesn't say how many of those have been found, did it?
No, not this news. Maybe there's something else. Someone finds something posted.
I'd be real curious as to hear what somebody that goes out there with some sort of equipment that can, you know, test what kind of frequencies are coming off of it, or electromagnetic energy or what, you know, see if there's anything actually being projected there, or have somebody get out there with a torch and open one up. I mean,
Yeah.
What's in there?
All right, so let's move on to the next. Oh, what were you going to say, Tom?
Oh, I was just going to go on to the next thing. This saber rattling that's going on, you know, this has a lot of people. I mean, and, you know, I've talked a lot about the shadow boxing and the shadow fears that, you know, that the powers that be keep throwing at humanity, you know, to keep us in a constant fear state. And, you know, I see kind of a multi-purposes with the crap that's going on. We've got the corporatocracy that is pushing its agenda forward to, you know, to get complete domination of the planet. And this whole crap going on in Iran right now, I mean, you know, Iran just started selling their oil to like China and Russia and India and places like that for gold instead of U.S. dollars. And
how dare them?
As far as the corporatocracy is concerned, that's a big no-no. You got to stay in U.S. dollars, you know, because that's holding up the whole world economy, and it's based on absolutely nothing. So, you know, if people start trading in other currencies, then the dollar is going to fall, and all these big wigs that have all their stuff in dollars are going to, you know, lose a little bit of their power or their pride or their prestige or something.
You know, the funny thing, Tom, that here in Japan, there's a lot of, the same as in America, there's a lot of Iranis that live here, and I asked them, you know, like, what's your feeling on this? And they always say the same thing. I hate the U.S. for what they're doing, but I don't like my government, and we do not need a war. And that's exactly the same way the U.S., the American citizens feel. We don't want another war. Neither side wants a war, but it's only a 1% that wants to push their agenda. The planet does not want any more wars. We're tired of it. And, you know, what's it going to take? So, you know, we're going to have to look at people like Mahatma Gandhi and start taking his example.
Well, a lot of people are doing that. I mean, look at Occupy. The whole Occupy movement. I mean, it is, you know, you don't see a lot of it in the media. I mean, you see some of it in the media, but not very much.
The negative part.
They just don't want to give it any publicity, whether it's positive or negative, because it makes people start thinking. And we know we don't want a thinking populace, you know.
No, no way. People who think for themselves? No. But, yeah, I mean, it drives me nuts. But, I was thinking, should I mention the next news, or you got
anything
else? So over in Brazil, we have something else. I mean, before I get into this news, people of Earth, we've really got our work cut out. So let me go into the news. So we want to stop the Belo Monster Dam that they're doing over in Brazil, which is completely going to dislocate an entire tribe and just, you know, a lot of animals. And it's a huge dam that, you know, with the technologies that we have, we don't need to build these huge dams and flood out, you know, a very important part of our ecosystem. Because, you know, humans are easy to move. And, yeah, that sounds like selfish. But, you know, what about the animals and these plants? You know, what kind of plants are we losing there? So when it's, you know, people say, oh, but they can move. Yeah, what about everything else? Well, you know, so.
Yeah, it's I don't know. You know, it's that corporatocracy, you know.
Again.
It's all about the money. And until we get some people that are, you know, deeply within these corporatocracies that decide they've had enough and that they, you know, grow a conscience, then, you know, this is gonna continue until either there's some form of revolution or there's some sort of evolution. One or the
other.
Well,
this is the idea, and I mentioned it to you off air, Tom, which was I'll mention this idea and then I'll give off the telephone number again. But my idea was to either start like a GoFundMe.com or I forgot was the name of the other one, where we'll collect money and just start buying huge portions of land in these rainforests all over the world and give the deeds over to the people, or buy the land and then make it a sovereign state. So these 1% can't touch it, you know. I'd say, well, actually, you know, if they really want to, they still can. But at least start somewhere, do something, you know. Because we just can't sit here where you know, where our hands folded and said, well, you know, I feel like we have to do something.
Yeah. There's a ton of organizations that are out there, though, Ramon, that are, you know, save the rainforest.
Yeah, but they're just petitioning. I'm talking about buying it. You know, there's a lot of research, and we, you know, give it to the people who live on that land who are taking care of it.
Have you looked to see if there's any rainforest for sale?
I got the idea actually from a guy named Alex Putney. That he was on Mel's show, and according to him, he got this from his contacts that this is one of the best ways to do it. So it's not an original Ramon idea. But I'm sure we can, because I've heard other people buying rainforests, you know, to burn it down and grow crops, or even just to build their house on it. So I'm sure we can buy, like, huge sectors. Maybe not the entire rainforest, but something is something, you know. And I'm sure we can, in the rainforest, acres are not that expensive. Not like buying land here in Japan.
Anyways.
So let me give out that number before you spread that thought of yours, Tom. Once again, give us a call in any questions about anything. The number is 530-413-9537, and the 800 number is 888-429-5471. Tom, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to go back to that shadow boxing comment again. And, you know, there's been – I think we've got something on our site. Yeah, we do, don't we, on false flags.
Yes.
All the false flags in history. We got a brief history of the false flags. And, you know, I saw a good article here today about the old defunct aircraft carrier, the USS Enterprise, that they just moved over into, oh, what is it, the Gulf of whatever it is. Straits of Hormuz or whatever it is. They've got it over there. And, you know, I think Foster Gamble actually talked about this. That's who I heard it from. Foster Gamble put out a little video, and he talked about it'd be a perfect spot there for them to set that aircraft carrier and, you know, have one of their false flag attacks. And, you know, to elicit the fear and the support that they'd need for doing something to Iran. Now, I just hope everybody has their bullshit detectors on this time, and we're able to sniff this stuff out and expose it before it goes too far, before we completely lose our Constitution, because right now our Constitution is in tatters, in absolute tatters, from 2001 on. Well, it goes back farther than that, but really intensely since 2001 and that crap that happened in New York. And it's just, I mean, we need to retain some semblance of freedom here before we really start seeing ugly stuff happen. So shadow boxing, all these fears being thrown out there, what are they doing to us, Ramon? What do these fears do to us?
Well, if you let yourself get caught up in it, you start let me finish before I start laughing. You become a potato chip.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Please explain, Tom.
Okay. No. Let's finish the shadow boxing thing here real quick, and then we'll talk about potato chips. Now, what's fear do to you, though, Ramon?
Oh, well, once you get that fear of flight, it's hard to think straight. You can't really, if you think back to when you find yourself in a fearful, you either fight or run, and all the adrenaline, where they say all the blood and stuff leaves your head and goes to your limbs. And when you're in constant fear, you know, you're constantly doing that. And then you wonder why, you know, people who are stressed out are getting heart attacks and having, you know, diseases and all these things. And they don't let you think straight. You know, just think about when you got really angry or really scared, you said something or did something that then later you regret because you're not thinking straight. So if we have a population that's always scared, they can't really think for themselves, say, wait, no, that's wrong, you know. What are you guys saying doesn't make any sense. You just go with the flow. Okay, we're in code orange now. We're in code red. We're in code, you know, aqua, whatever. And you never focus on what's really happening.
It's losing that rational mind. I mean, you lose all rationality about what's really going on. You know, the populace here been so conditioned to turn the other cheek, you know, to not pay attention to these things and think it's not going to happen to me, and they're so overwhelmed with all the things that they have to do to maintain their lifestyle here in the Western society, you know, keep up with the Joneses and you know, make my house payment and make all my this payment, and I have to work and I have to do this to be able to do this. I have to. You know, they keep us in that state of where we can't pay attention to anything else because we're so focused on maintaining our current situation. They preoccupy us and distract us while other people or that small percentage of people are doing all these things behind the scenes. Now, like you told me earlier that your friend there in New York didn't know anything about that 1867, that S-1867 until you told him about it, what, yesterday or whatever it was?
2 days ago, yeah.
I mean, how can somebody who lives in the United States of America not be aware of the fact that that law passed? I mean, that just baffles me that people are so have their heads so far in the sand that they are absolutely ignorant of the fact that the military can come into their town, into their house, and arrest them for no reason,
and then in jail them indefinitely without any court or jury of their peers. Yeah.
How can someone not be aware of that?
You'd be surprised, because I mean, even my friends who are aware, they tell me the same thing. I can't believe how people are so apathetic. But I guess, you know, it's up to each and every one of us who does know. You know, it's not our job. You know, we'll tell people, you know, this is the problem. But if you don't want to listen, that's fine. But it is your responsibility, each individual, to make a change, be that change.
You know, they talk, everybody talks about the 1%. And I wonder, you know, and this thought just popped into my head, you know, is there just a 1% on the other side of the coin too? Where there is only a 1% in the side that's actually trying to do something?
Well, if I would say yes, and probably a bigger than a 1%.
You think so?
Really
think so? You know what 1%? You know what 1% is, right?
Yeah, 1% of the entire population.
Right. What would that be? 700,000 or 70 million? 70 million is.
You want to do some math there? Seven point billion divided 1%. Okay, I'm not doing the math. I failed. I failed math. But I would say, yes, there is definitely an opposite side, and that would be us. You know, you guys who are listening to the show and people who do shows like this and write books and, you know, talk about this, because we're all making each other aware. And there is, yeah, like a kind of like psychological thing, and, you know, it's not to make it into a negative kind of thing, but you do have to be aware there is ways of pushing back without being violent, and that's what we're talking about.
Well, that's right. That's the other 1%.
Gandhi called it peaceful resistance.
Yeah. So the people you see out there in Occupies and all those ones that are out there on the verge of being in a violent situation, I almost think. I mean, some, you know, most of them are out there with the right intention and stuff, but they're in a place where it's almost inviting something. But anyways, I kind of see them as the 1.5%. You know, I see the 1% of us that are actively raising consciousness, that are actively out there trying to get to the root of the problem, get to the core of who and what we are, and really bringing that awareness to humanity and to open eyes and to make people understand that yes, we are divine beings having a physical experience, and that we have the ability and the power to project our future and to manifest what we can envision into our future. So, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go into some potato chips.
Oh, okay. So, last week I popped a video out, a little mini rant about some of the BS I see out there for lack of a better term, the new age genre, you know, and about you know, some of the crap that people are so willing to swallow and just, you know, hook, line, and sinker, they believe this stuff just because it sounds sweet and it's a really good idea. It'd really be nice if this stuff happened. And I talked about you know, well, if these guys are, if you look at the history of all this stuff that's out there and just look at what they've said in the past and what they promised in the past. And, you know, 3 years ago, they said it was just around the corner. Oh, come on, guys, look out the window. We're still here. We still have to do the work. Yeah. Anyways, I got a response on the YouTube. Somebody made a comment and asked if I thought that we're like potato chips for the gods, and if we were all just being fed, fattened, and ready for slaughter. And so I made a video that I think I wrote on a potato chip bag. I got a Lay's potato chip bag, and I wrote on there, laid down and gave up, classic humans, something like that. It was funny, I thought. And anyways, the gist of that was I don't really think that we are being fattened to be slaughtered and ate as, you know, prime rib steaks or anything like that. Now, there is an element out there, and it is, I suppose you would call it dimensional, that from my own personal experience and what has come before us, from other researchers and mystics and psychics and all sorts of different sources that have talked about an entity out there that does feed on our energy, that does feed on our fear. And, you know, if there is something out there that is farming us for anything, it's that they're farming us for our energy, for our fear energy, for the emotion that we put off when we're in fear. And you know, that whole state of fear is so detrimental to who and what we are. I mean, it stops our growth. I mean, it completely stops our growth. I mean, I know some people have to go through that fear to experience it, to be able to have that contrast, to understand what love is. And I will agree to that. But once somebody gets to a point where they, especially when they understand what is really going on, and they see the crap going on out in the world, and they have the tools that they need to use discernment and to understand that it is another one of those things that are just out there to create the fear. I don't know. Yeah, you know, pull the head out, guys. Use your discernment. Because that fear does do nothing but retard your growth.
Yeah.
And it creates that dis-ease. You know, the source of all our ills and worries is that fear. Oh, so.
Yeah. Oh, Tom, can you upload that?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, one of the experiences I'll talk about before we go on the break is I've had like experiences where I've had entities come at me, and you know, if anybody's ever experienced that, where especially when you wake up and you're in that in between state where you're paralyzed kind of, and they always say that's right before you go into out of body experience, the
hypnagogic,
bless you, that's when I've had like entities come at me. And what I've noticed is when you say it firmly without anger, leave me alone, they lose all their power. They completely, I remember one time.
We're sovereign beings.
Yeah. And
we're sovereign beings. We are sovereign beings of this cosmos. I mean, not just this universe, of all of life, all of existence. We are sovereign beings.
Yeah, and oh. You know, you empower or disempower them. You take back your sovereignty or you give away your sovereignty. And that's what we constantly always have to work on. That, what they call that inner alchemy. And that's at the top. You know, the most important thing to work on. So let's give out that number one more time. Make sure
888-429. I'm coming from memory. 5471.
Oh, is that from memory?
Yep.
Oh, very good, very good. And if you have to take off and listen in, you can listen on your cell phone. You can't call in, but you can listen. That's 760-569-7676. Access code is 192919#. Beep. So for the, I might be jumping ahead, but for the next hour, what's some of the things we want to discuss?
I want to talk about 2012. I want to talk about, you know, what's going on with 2012. You know, what's everybody anticipating, and what do we think is really going to happen?
Oh, we have Kathy from Virginia on line two. Let's bring Kathy on.
Hello?
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys? This is Kathy Pope.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
Hey, my friends. How you doing?
You know,
doing really good.
As long as we talk, this is the first time I ever heard your voice, Kathy. It's very sweet.
I know. It's the first time I've talked to you in person, too. Yeah. Well, you know, I had to chime in because of the fear factor, what you're talking about. And I just noticed that whatever we fear, it actually happens because we waste so much time just sitting there being afraid and believing everything we hear. instead of just taking that breather and learn what we could do about it.
Agreed.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of sense.
Yeah.
What are some of the solutions that you would say that we can do?
Well, we do have information out there, shows like yours, people like yourself, and, great information there. Learn more about it. Learn whatever is troubling you. Find out more information. Do not listen and believe anything you hear, basically.
Yeah.
And, it's not just the Internet. You can go to an expert. You can go to the library. I mean, there's so many ways to do research.
You know, one of our guests we had on, Anelia Benz, I know everybody's familiar with her, has a fantastic way for people to work through fear, and she has the whole process right on her website at ascension101.com. And
wow.
It's an excellent way to actually process it, work through it, and release it. So
that's right, because really the best way I've ever conquered any fear I've ever had was confronting it. And
that's
just,
true.
You know, doing what I have to do, either that or, you know, or lose out or make a fool out of myself. And those are two things I do not want to do. So you got to keep plugging along. And most things really, they're not as bad as you think they are, you know, when you figure out worst case scenarios. And
most
that's
people,
how I do it.
Most people make mountains out of molehills, don't they?
Oh, terrible. And then the other thing that I'm hearing about, the other subject you were talking about, the NDAA, I'm amazed at people who are falling for it, who think that it's all being done for their own good. And I'm like, come on, guys. You know, they say, oh, we don't have anything to hide. And, well, maybe you think you don't, but maybe you'll say something by accident. And if somebody's out to get you, they're going to take you.
Yeah.
You know? How many times do people break laws and they don't even have any idea that they're doing that?
You know, there's actually a couple of states that are putting bills on the state level to block that within their states.
Mm-hmm.
Washington State is one, and I don't remember the other state. There's another
Montana,
state.
Montana, and I think Canada, Virginia. I think there are a couple of people I know in Virginia who are trying to do something about it.
I would say Vermont, too.
So maybe maybe they'll get it taken. Maybe we'll get all that blocked at the state level. You know, at least that is showing that there's something definitely wrong, inherently wrong with that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, each time the powers that want to be do anything like this, I think how do I explain it? I think more and more people are waking up. It just depends on what issue it is that's waking them up, or what issue is close to them. So to me, I feel like they're hurting themselves. That's why I'm not afraid of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm making any sense, guys.
Yeah, absolutely,
but
you are.
I'm just going by experience.
Yeah. I had this dream once, Kathy, where if you guys would give me 5 minutes to tell this dream, where it was a long time ago, like maybe 10, 12 years ago, and I was in a courtyard, and there was these, like, I had opened this door kind of, and these evil Chinese monk were coming out, like these evil monks were spirits, and I was scared and I was running from them. And then I see this Chinese man, and my childhood friend was there, and he tells me, grab onto the rock. And then he says, relinquish your fears. And all of a sudden, all this evil was coming all around. And I was just concentrating on relinquishing my fear, as he was telling us. And then they were gone. And all of a sudden, he takes my hand. And my other friend puts his hand close to mine. And the electricity from my hand was going off into his. And I felt something I've never felt before. I couldn't describe it. But the weird part that I find is that my friend, his nickname is Will Power.
Wow.
So I was feeding electricity to Willpower.
Nice. Nice.
And that is.
Yeah. And that was like 12 years ago before I was into any of these things.
So you learn anything from that one?
I would hope so by now, right?
But that's it. We're just feeding all the evil with our fears. That's all we're doing. So, and I'd like to starve them to death, to tell you
absolutely
the truth.
Absolutely.
So what's your concept on whether, because some people say that all we have to do is sit at home and meditate, which I find very important. It's very important. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's not important, but do you think that's just enough to change the world?
No. To me, meditation, you know, yeah, you're right. It is important, and it's a good guidance system. You know, it clears your mind and everything, but no, we have work to do. We still have lots of work to do. And I think it's a little bit of both, if that makes any sense. I think, in other words, I don't think, you know, you can accomplish a lot without the meditation. You got to have that, too.
Right, right.
Because it helps you think, so you clear your mind, it helps you think clearly, and, you know, next thing you know, it's kind of like the thing of go to bed and things will look different tomorrow morning, you know, because you've had sleep and everything, and, you know, there are solutions you come up with that you didn't think of the day
before.
You
know, as far as taking action in the world, you know, what my philosophy on that whole thing is that you deal with what presents itself upon your path, and you deal with it with the best way you know how, mm-hmm. and with highest integrity. And that's that whole taking care of yourself, being centering yourself, getting yourself fixed first, and then it spreads like the ripple in a pond effect type thing.
Oh, right. And, you know, here's another thing. Everybody thinks they have to do such a major big thing. And I think if each one of us worked at our grassroots local level, it would be amazing how it would spread out. I mean, it's the little stuff here. It's your little local level that you work.
There's definitely a movement of people pulling out their money from the major banks and putting them in either credit unions or mm-hmm. buying gold. I mean, I've heard stories where people go pull out, like, for example, $10,000 to put them in credit mm-hmm. unions. And the banks would be like, why do you want to pull out your money? And one guy was telling a story. I forgot who it was on a radio show. And he was saying, none of your damn business. Don't worry.
Exactly.
It's my money. Don't worry why I'm pulling it out.
There you go.
Money. And they kept them. Yeah, I can't remember who it was. But they kept them there, like, I think for over 2 hours. Because they did not want to give him his money. And what he was saying was, he was thinking that they didn't have the money. You know, because we all know it's just, you know, type a couple of numbers on the computer and there we
mm-hmm.
go.
Yeah.
Right.
No, there's no money there really anyways, so.
Well, that's what I always wonder too. And I don't think the population knows that either. I mean, where do they get the money? Especially when they give you credit. Where the hell does that money come from?
It's all a keystroke. Keystroke on a computer.
Oh.
And then they turn around and crucify you if you're struggling.
Yeah.
And that's the control factor.
You mean I can type in a couple million dollars? How many millions do you need, Kathy?
Hey, now we're talking. No, I think it's at the banks. I think their system and everything. It's all, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. These are just speculations on my part, but I wondered that myself.
No, you're right. You're right because, I mean, from my understanding is, you know, the Federal Reserve prints out, let's use, I like using small numbers. Let's say they print out $1 and mm-hmm. then they lend it to a couple, you know, they lend 10 cents to each bank and those banks make another dollar. So now if they lend it to 10 banks out of thin air, now we have $10 mm-hmm. and then they lend it down. And they do the same thing again. They lend down 10
cents. And it just keeps going over and over and over
and
over.
Oh, my God.
And by the time you borrow the money, the interest rate, so now we're responsible for paying back all those interest rates to each bank.
Mm-hmm.
And all that interest rate money is new money being added to the system. So yeah, let's not get into the finances, Ramon.
Oh no, that kind of bores me to death too. But my goodness, we have to be aware of some of it, at least a lot of the enticements that we get too. And unfortunately, I fell for those enticements a while back, and you know, and I don't recommend anybody get a credit card. So what? You don't have credit. So what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. What do you need anyway? You know.
Yeah.
That's just my take on it.
Well, Kathy, thank you so much for calling in. We got a couple people.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much, and nice to meet you, Ramon. Finally.
Yes. Yes, and we'll stay in contact.
Yes. Yes, and I want to say one more thing though before I go. Can I do that?
Absolutely. Sure.
Just one little thing, because I'm going to do a little pitch here. I think it's very important that we all support your show, shows like yours, because unfortunately we're in the 3D world, and unfortunately it costs money to do these type of shows and archive them and everything. And the last thing you want are sponsors, because sponsors will dictate to you what to say. When we have listeners supporting you, then you can say what you want, you know, and then we can get the truth out.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying that. And in a nutshell, so come on, folks, support them, please.
Thank you.
Checks in the mail, Kathy.
Okay. Okay, guys. Love you guys.
All right. Thank you, sweetheart. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I think we have Dan on line 3. Is that right?
Oh, we have Dan?
Line 2.
Oh, we have a few people. Oh, wow. I just realized. Is Dan still there? How about... Oh, Dan.
Dan!
Oh.
Is this Dan the man?
That's right. Tom and Ramon. What's up, fellas?
How's it going, guy?
Huh? Oh, good, man. Good. I'm glad I caught your show here.
Is this Dan Kelly?
Dan Kelly, right.
Oh, yeah, this is Dan Kelly. He was on the show last year. Actually, yeah, you did the last show. How's the book going?
Christmas? Pretty good. I had a little bump in sales from your interview, and it was a lot of fun. So,
cool.
Pretty good,
nice.
Man.
Actually, we're reaching the top of the hour. You want to...
Roll over?
Yeah, just hold your thoughts. We're going to bring in the song.
We're going to play Free Energy by the Luminaries.
Yes, this is actually a great song. So, Dan, don't go anywhere.
So I think we got, we have Claudia on line 1, too. So, Claudia, hang in there. We're listening to this music, or just call back if you want, and we'll catch you guys on the other side.
And there are powers that be that let their people panic. Look at the Gulf of Japan, could they have really planned it? Heading for the iceberg like the Titanic. Atlantic mystery, Atlantis right from history. The truth about the pyramids and ancient Mayan prophecy. Space Odyssey, looked into the anomalies, and you will find suppression, the free energy technology. A false democracy born out of a monopoly. Sacred knowledge robbery, like the towers they toppling. No stopping free. Jay Brain, B2C. Coming from the enemy. Free energy. The oil's running dry. Our money's burning out. Solar panels on the roof of the White House.
Hey!
We bringing on some real change. Water catchment system. We collect the rain.
Time to gather round. The moment's now. I want it all turned out. And from the crowd.
Time for free energy.
Tesla. Perceive the earth as a conductor of acoustical resonance, and still his presence lives in the heart of visionary invention.
Over 5,000 patents censored.
Researching zero point energy, trying to get through delirium. The unified field theory of Nassim Harriman, and every day we carry in the burden of our past. Water fuel bars, we no longer need the gas.
So many solutions right here in your face. Raw earth energy, create what rejuvenates. Green walls and green roofs, grow plants on everything. Magnetic movements, don't need gas for anything. Space-wish rockets, doing our own research. Paying out of pocket, bike-powered stages. You pedal in our rocket, fully access to techie knowledge. Green power over big profit, you can't stop it.
Ever think what the wars are fought for? Ever dream that the world could be more? I stand my life by Earth, one chance to do it together. Ever think what the wars are fought for? Ever dream that the world could be more?
Third industrial revolution. Invention is the language of a worldwide solution. The body electromagnetic, plasma arc reactor, stubble field, Kowski frost. Free the knowledge lost.
Some people wait for 2012 to watch the earth shift, but in New Mexico they out there building earth ships. We got the language wrong, I got a new twist. The lifting of the veil, that's the true apocalypse.
Some see free energy as the enemy, but my genetic memory remembering that that could never be. Thoughts float in the anti-gravity. A cubic foot of space can fuel the whole world annually.
You can choose a lover, hate, we vote, or maybe meditate. And every day we demonstrate so we can finally get it straight. Peace worldwide is the anthem that we celebrate. Free energy like the end of the movie Saint.
Time to gather round, the moment's now. I want it all turned out. And from a crowd, be the one who's the meditation.
Suggest anybody who are like that stuff, man, go check them out. We've got some links on our on the website on www.the100thmonkeyradio.com.
We need to bring them on for an interview.
What's that, Ramon?
I said we need to bring them on for an interview.
Oh,
I know this is not a music show, but these guys look like they do their research, and you know they're talking about something that matters.
Yeah, we'll talk about free energy here in a little bit here because. There's some stuff out there that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Now we got Dan on. You still there, Dan?
Yeah, I'm still there. That is a great song, man. I wish my science textbook was like that in high school.
Tell me about it, right?
A lot of information.
Oh, by the way, you're listening to the 100thmonkeyradio.com. So, Dan, what's on your mind? What's the name of your book first?
Pagan Dreams, An Inquiry into the Origins of the Bible. But I was calling just to kind of touch on what you guys and Kathy was also talking about earlier. You know, a lot of things are going around, people talking about entities that, like, feed off people's fear.
Right.
And I've just been thinking about it lately, and I think, like, and I'm sure everybody already knows this, but maybe to sort of elucidate a little, like, they're not separate entities than ourselves. You know, if you think that the universe is holographic, everything is kind of in unity, and it's not like you don't escape things that are feeding off your fear, and you don't... the only way to really get over it is to realize that you create it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I guess I just feel like... I don't know, I had a weird experience when I was... Just to sort of share something, like when I was in college that, like... I had this sort of lucid dream that I was enslaved by this sort of something that seemed to represent the New World Order. You know, this like man breathing like like a beast, and like this in this like business suit. And I don't know what it was, but like when I tried to escape it, I was just drawn closer till I was actually like hugging it around the waist, and it was really horrifying. And then when I realized that it was myself, something that I was creating, I was sort of released. And I just think a lot of people are out there thinking like, how do we? And it's also a source of, I guess, a lot of the battle energy. It's like, this is separate from me, so I have to battle it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and
you know, it
really is.
That's still got to be. I mean, I agree that yes, we do have something that we create within ourselves that we project out into the world from ourselves. But I from all the stuff that I've researched and looked at, you know, there's something that still leads me to believe that there is another element there that is outside of self. Now, if you look at and subscribe to the holographic universe theories, then it on one level, yes, it is all. We do have all of it within us. It's all part of us on some level. But on the, I'm coming from the individuated consciousness level, you know, where I'm a you know, that I experience that separation from the whole. Although I do have moments of that, you know, that amazing connection. You know, but that's normally through some altered consciousness, through meditation or whatever, you know. But I still feel that there's another element there that we would term outside of ourselves, dimensionally or something that yeah. So and that's still in my big I don't know bag. So I don't have that answer yet. And you know, a lot of people have their theories,
yeah.
You know, until I experience it, I can't put it into my I know bag.
When it comes to the entities feeding, I've experienced it a lot since childhood, and I would say the same thing as you, Dan, that when you confront it, it loses power. Like I was having this out of body experience, and this dark shadow was huge, overtaking the room, was coming at me. And I stood up to it, and by the time it got to me, it was so small that it had no effect on me. But it's because I stood there with no fear and just faced it head on, and it lost its fear. It lost its power.
Yes, when I first started meditating, I had an experience where I noticed these two entities that were like in the corner of my room, and they were so shocked that I saw them. You know what I mean? It was like, because I was normally not that conscious, and it was like just because I was meditating, and they were completely powerless, you know, and they were almost comical looking. And
right.
So the whole thing is to defeat them, and even in terms of the New World Order or whatever you want to call it, it's just by changing our own perspective, it's just leaving them behind, I kind of think, rather than defeating them on their terms, you know?
Yeah. Be seeing the world without those rose-colored glasses on. Oh, I'd love to have a pair of those glasses from what's that movie? They Live or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, seeing the world without those rose-colored glasses on really allows you to stand by yourself, to be able to stand in your sovereignty, if that's the way you want to term it.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, growing up in the world of Santeria, I met a lot of people that would do clearings, but they would do them out of fear, or even in my grandmother on my father's side, she was a Baptist, and she passed on now, but she, even when she would, you know, I reject the devil, and you know, all those things, it would come out of fear. It wouldn't come out of standing in sovereignty. And I noticed that those people had to do more and more clearings and more because
they feed the demons.
Yes, they were doing that out of fear. And it's almost like these entities toyed with them, because it's like, okay, I'll give you this, and then next time they'll come back, you know, like, wah! You know?
Yeah.
It's the mutual drama society. You know, like the demons are giving them the drama that they seem to want. I don't know. That's just my interpretation.
Yeah, but I want to ask you something then. How's the sun gazing going?
15 minutes and 10 seconds as of the other day, and I can't stress enough, do not do it without your bare feet on the ground, at least from my experience, because the couple times that I've cheated out my window, it's not good for the eyes. You really have to ground, and you have to listen to your body, and I'll take a couple days off, and I even use like an organic, you know, a homeopathic eye moisturizer if I feel like my eyes are getting too dry, but I'm lucky enough that my yoga teacher knows Hiro Rama Manek, and he's one of the people that tested Manek. He's the guy that teaches the sun gazing at Jefferson Hospital, so I'm pretty confident that he's legitimate, and, you know, if he can do it, anybody can do it. And another, not to keep taking up all your time, but it's related to the sun gazing, and have you heard of Jazz Muheen? This woman in Australia, she's like a prana. She lives on prana. She's really, really interesting, and it might be an interesting guest. She doesn't sun gaze, but she lives on prana. And it's really, she seems to have a lot of wisdom. And I go by people like, she puts her art and her music up on YouTube, and the fact that her art and music is so good makes me pretty confident that she's a, you know,
hey, Dan, send me a link if you would.
Yeah. I will. I definitely will. She's Australian, and she's had a lot of unfair controversy. But I'll send you a link, and I don't want to take up all your time. I know you guys have a lot of guests, but your show's great, man. I'm glad I subscribed to the second hour there, and it's well worth it. So
we highly appreciate it. And also, before you go, give out the name of your book. It's definitely worth the read.
Pagan Streams, An Inquiry into the Origins of the Bible. It's a little intellectual, but
it's a good book, guys.
Yeah.
They can pick it up at paganstreams.com, correct?
Yes, yes, that's right. Newly updated website with the art of Nicholas Roerich, so there's fun pictures too. But I'm looking forward to your book, Ramon. I can't wait to get a copy, so get it finished, man.
Yeah, I had a little grammar issues there, you know, for an English teacher.
Yeah.
And you got to read the first chapter, so you know what I'm talking about.
Finish. So far, so good, but I'll send you some more of my opinions if you want.
Yeah, definitely. The more the merrier.
All right, yeah. No holds barred then.
All right, Dan. Hey, thanks for calling in, bud.
All right, keep up the good work. I'll see you later.
Namaste.
Do we still have Claudia on, or did she hang up?
No, I'm still here.
Claudia. Oh, you're there. Yay!
Hey,
thank you for waiting patiently.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Interestingly enough, I kind of wanted to tie all the things together that you guys were talking about, at least from my perspective. The first thing that you guys brought up was about why are so many people asleep and how hard it is to believe all of that. I struggled a lot with that. And what I come to find out for myself, just in reflection alone, is that, you know, being part of the workforce, you know, everybody is working so hard for their families and trying to put food on the table. Those are things that they don't often even look at. You know, it takes someone who's in that mode of thinking to begin with, which personally, I've always been in that question myself ever since I can remember. But even with all of that work that I did internally and spiritually, there were so many things that I wasn't aware of until I wasn't in the workforce anymore.
Right.
And then it got real ugly. Then I really started to wake up. Because, of course, I asked for it, right? I wanted to wake up. It was my desire. So watch what you ask for. And, that takes a lot of courage to do. And so I personally believe in what I've come to find out is that, you know, if you start to talk about these things, people who aren't ready, you're either crazy or you're a conspiracy theorist. You know?
Which is the same thing.
Right. According to everybody, right? Unfortunately, you know, not that that's what the word conspiracy really means. And they're just going to reject it. And why do they reject it? Because it brings up their own fear, the fear that they have inside. And fear is a healthy thing. It's, we have fear to protect these vehicles that we're in, right? That's really what the purpose of fear is. There is a purpose for it. It's to stop us from things that we can't quite handle so that we can still function on this plane. And so there, so it's not necessarily something that's bad. It's the, like any emotion, all of them are valid. Anger, joy, fear, love, you name it, across the spectrum. That's what we've come here, I believe, personally, to express and then experience. So when people are ready to wake up, they wake up. And you can't force it, and you can't bring it upon 1 minute sooner. But, you know, it's, I think that ultimately our purpose is to express ourselves as separate entities, like you were saying before, Tom. And that part of that expression is all those emotions that are inside. So the fear comes out, as Dan was saying, in regards to the entities and things of that nature. And Tom, as you were saying, that there's different levels of separateness, right? There's first your own personal experience, then that which you get through your mother, your father, sisters, brothers, children, and your immediate family, then your community, your city, your state, etc. That those are the different levels of experience that we're here to experience. And that what everything happens as it should in its own time. And you see that reflection so that you know who you're showing up as in the world, as a creation. So when you're fearful, you bring fearful things to you. When you're joyful, you bring joyful things to you. And all of those are to show you the expression that you are on the inside that you can't really see, that unseen world. And at least those are some of the conclusions that I've come to.
Yeah, so
my own life a little more workable.
I fully agree with you on the personal level there, you know, but I have big questions on the social consciousness, on how that fear is generated in within the social consciousness. And, you know, people work through their own personal fears, you know, on one level. And then and consciousness works on this like this too. You know, consciousness works on many different levels. We have our, the planet's conscious. You know, then we have the human consciousness here, which is all these 7 billion individuated units of consciousness that are roaming around on this planet. And then we have our cultural consciousnesses, which are, you know, they're multi-tiered also. You know, you have community groups, et cetera, et cetera. And each one of them possesses a consciousness of itself. And then I look at the world consciousness and all the fears that are being thrown out there right now, that are the things that are being thrown out there that appear to be designed to create that fear. And, you know, there may be ulterior motives too, but to me, it seems like some of these things are specifically designed just to create fear. Still a big question mark there for me. I don't quite understand the whole picture there, but.
Yeah, and I want to give you an example too. Like, the one type of fear that I would say you shouldn't never stand up to is, for example, you're in the woods and a bear, you know, a 10-foot bear stands up. Do not stand
That's
up to the bear.
Your fight or flight kicks in.
You better run.
Run away.
You know, but what? So don't confuse. You know, I don't. Well, Ramon said to stand up to the bear. No, run. But in the same note, there was this news, I think it was in Canada, where there was this moose, and this old lady was coming out, and her husband, they were in their early 80s, and her husband was out already, and this moose was there, and the dogs were barking, growling, and then she noticed that her husband was in the snowbank, and the moose was stomping. So she grabbed the shovel, and she, you know, hit the moose. She fought off the moose, off her husband. It was either a moose or elk. I can't remember. But anyway...
Yeah, I can't remember either, but I recall the same scenario.
And that's the second news I hear of an older woman defending her husband from a wild animal.
And it's amazing what you can do, huh?
Yeah, yeah, 82 years old, she's swinging this, you know. Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Claudia actually co-hosted a show with us with when we had George Kavassalis on the first time, and she is an astrologer extraordinaire, and since we have her on here, I am going to put her on the spot.
Yes.
And ask her, Claudia, what's going on? What have you, I'm sure you've looked at the 2012 chart and some of what you see happening in the stars and kind of influences that are coming up for this year. Would you give us your on-the-spot report?
Oh, geez. I don't know about the astrologer. You should have known
we were going to put you on the spot.
what do you see some of the influence? What are some of the influences that are happening right now that you can talk on?
Well, I've been doing a lot of my own study and self-reflection there, too, because I've been going through my own spiritual boot camp, and it seems to fall in line with the things that are going on, that, you know, as we talked about as within, so without, right, and the different levels of consciousness. And I do believe that this is a way in which the planet does affect us. The whole 100th monkey thing, I believe, does have to do with the stars and where we are in the galaxy, and the fact that we are all waking up at the same time. And what I see happening is this grand waking up, this grand consciousness raising, where things are getting in everybody's face so that those of us who aren't addressing what is within as a society, and as you said, there are people out there that are creating fear. That's the role they came here to play, so that we could experience the devastation of fear and what happens. And as we're entering into the center of the galaxy, all of those energies are changing. And so the opportunity is coming now. It's kind of like, ready or not, here I come. Hmm. One of the things that...
So the proverbial 2x4?
Yeah, it's the proverbial 2x4 getting hit upside the head. I don't know if you guys have experienced this or not, but so, I'm noticing that there's a lot of anger out there. Mars is really rearing its ugly head these days.
So now, I'm pretty sensitive to the energy and the change, especially when there's, you know, some drastic change of some kind in the energy that I feel in the world. And a couple of weeks ago, and I've actually talked with a few other people who experienced something real similar. It was just all of a sudden I got real melancholy, and then became very reflective and started asking those questions. Okay, what is it all for? You know, this is ridiculous. I'm not, you know, this is you know what I'm doing here. This is all pointless, and take me home. And you know, I had that this real negative line of thought that manifested in me, and it was on the emotional level, and you know, this lasted for a couple of days where I was in this mood, and I knew while I was going through this, I was aware of the fact that there was a different energy out there, and I was feeling it, but I was still going through this. And after I started to come out of this. I was talking with a few people, and there were several of them that during the same time, and actually a couple that after I a day or two after I went through it, that had gone through the exact same thing. Have you noticed anything like that in the energy, as far as, you know, the emotional energy out there?
Absolutely. Like I said, I was going through my own spiritual boot camp, too. All those things, you know, the whole love and light thing.
Right.
versus the get angry and get in people's face kind of thing. Especially,
right.
You know, being a woman, okay, it's not appropriate to get angry. You stuff it. Well, so many people have been stuffing so much in regards to their experience about the world, that part of that is coming out from an anger, which then also leads to despair, again, because there's that whole scenario going on of the waking up. And as you come upon these grand awakenings at times, and you want to go out there and share it with others, and then you start to, and you get slammed down, and you come to the realization that you can't wake up other people. All you can do is wake up yourself. That, and in terms of, you know, the powers that be and everything that's going on out there regarding, you know, how we're being controlled by the media and those kinds of things, I absolutely believe all of those are true. And it does seem to be kind of hopeless at times. But then again, the only thing you can do is work with the energy that's coming to you and deal with that energy and do your own inner work, make your own discoveries, speak your own truth, and don't back down when other people bring things up. It's being brought up in your presence so that you can speak your experience, so that you can show up in the world and show that there is a different way of doing things or a different way of looking at things and being brave enough to do that. And that's how everybody else wakes up, because they wouldn't be brought in your presence and the subject wouldn't come up if you weren't meant to express yourself
right
as your own creation and give them then that opportunity. It's just like how I happened to come into your whole show and everything. And, you know, it ended up taking 8 months from the original time that I had come across your information and been introduced through working with Crystal Clark. So had it come 8 months earlier, I wouldn't have been ready, and nothing ever would have happened.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's right. Just kind of how it works, and why it's also kind of difficult to talk about astrology in such a big, grand way. Yes, there are big, grand cycles. And basically what I said is the nuts and bolts of the cycle that everybody's going through. But, Tom, you even recognize that, I went through this, and then a couple days later, somebody else went through it. And the reason is we all have this unique signature that is imprinted upon us, if you will, when we enter into this planet, when we're born. And that's at the exact moment and exact time of your birth. And then depending upon that, there are so many different factors involved. There's the 12 houses, and where each planet is showing up in what house depends upon what area of your life that energy is going to impact you and when. And as we move through time in this dimension, those things shift throughout the world, throughout the years, and then they make different, there are different what's called aspects or angles, if you will, where they hit your native imprinted energy. So everybody's going to go through these things at different times. And this becomes a personal thing in your personal chart, and also a generational thing. And it's a huge cycle. So there are going to be different times when different things are going to hit different people. But this is the age, if you will, awakening.
Exactly.
Where it isn't something you're going to be able to bury anymore. So do I think that something is going to happen on December 21st, 2012? We're just entering that age. Things are heating up. It's going to start to become even more and more apparent. So more of the 100th monkey effect is going to take place for people.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, on that whole part about going out and spreading your truth, I learned that quite early in my wake up process, where I was so impassioned and so bubbling over with love and joy, and I wanted everybody to experience the same thing, you know. So I was out there trying to you know, talking to those deaf ears. And I learned really, actually fairly quickly that there is what I call a backlash from putting stuff like that out, especially to people who do not, are not ready for it and do not want it. When you're putting out an energy to somebody that is, they're not ready for, they're going to project back at you some negative energy, and it will definitely have an effect on you. So yeah, I learned pretty early that keep my mouth shut when it comes to those things, and keep my eyes open for those opportunities to, you know, to share what I've learned and what I know with others. Because if you're in that state where you are open to that conversation and you're open to sharing with others, the others come to you. It's absolutely amazing the way that
happens. Well, I think there's different ways to express it, is what I've learned for myself. Is at first, yeah, I had all that passion and all that excitement and everything else, you know. And it's that big, huge force of energy that people become overwhelmed by. And so there's, I think, a more gentler, more balanced way to take responsibility for it and just say, you know what, I really don't agree with you. And that's okay. We can agree to disagree, but just let me tell you from my perspective what I believe. And then you just put it out there and you say, you know what, what attracts one person repels another. That's what makes this life on this planet so wonderful, you know, is that we all get to express ourselves. And I respect that you have the right to your opinion, so I hope you respect that I've got the right to mine, too.
Absolutely.
And just as I'm going to allow you to express yours, let me express mine.
Yeah,
and,
but I'm right.
So don't lose.
No.
That's the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
It triggers those things. It triggers that fear. It triggers the, oh, no, what if I'm wrong, you know. The whole protection of the ego thing kicks into overdrive. And so it's really just all about our right to express ourselves. And, of course, I believe the top rule of this planet is to do no harm, right?
Right.
If we could live by that, then we'd all be getting along a lot better, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that 100th monkey effect to kick in on unity consciousness, where we all realize that we are all fundamentally connected on such a deep level. You know, that's one of my big projections. One of the things when I meditate and am projecting my future, what I want to see in the world, what the joyful, the happy place that I go to, where that I use my imagination and my focused vision on, is that unity consciousness, that where everybody has those things opened up within themselves, where they can sense and feel the connectedness between all of us. It draws us, at least as a race, if not with all the universe, into a more cohesive unit, instead of that sense of separation between man is gone.
Well, yeah. Speaking of that, I'm sorry, Kathy. Claudia. Sorry. Go ahead, Claudia.
I was just going to say, well, I really do think you're going to get your wish. Look around. You know, it's happening. It happens through your show. Like-minded people are coming together and waking up. And the more, and I predict that there will be much, much more of this. There's going to be a whole shifting in society where people will find their tribes. And new tribes will develop as a result. And then that then starts to magnify because when, you know, two or more of you are gathered together in that space and that energy, it amplifies.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, let's switch a little bit and talk about empathy because I'm noticing more and more that even people who can care less about this whole genre, what we talk about, and are not really into this at all, in those groups, I'm finding a lot of people who are very empathetic.
Empathic?
Yes, empathic. Sorry. Can you tell us, Tom, about your experience with that you had recently? The one you were telling me about off air?
Me?
Yeah.
Which one?
The pharmacy.
The pharmacy.
Okay, should I just tell the story since you don't remember that? You sat down in a chair.
Oh, that one. Oh, yeah, so I was at the pharmacy the other day, and I dropped off a prescription, and I went and sat in one of the chairs, in the waiting chairs, and immediately my back curled down, and I just felt tired, and I was like, wow, I am feeling something from this chair. I mean, I was aware enough. I walk like this every day, all day, and I try to be as conscious as I can, but I was aware that I was feeling something out of this chair, and I opened myself to it, and it's what's it called? Psychometry, right? I just felt this. I felt like a 95-year-old guy. With the back all hunched over and the creaky and the sore joints, and it was actually quite a startling experience. Especially when I was doing this, I was fully aware that I was picking up energy or a residue of energy that was in this seat. I was just amazed. I was like, wow. But empathy.
You know what? I do believe that's definitely on the rise, big time.
Oh yeah,
I have another example.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I have another example of something that just recently happened to me, and that kind of blew me away because I've been following this guy's YouTube videos about the weather and HARP, and he goes out and takes different radiation readings and everything.
Yeah.
Really,
Stuxnet,
right? You guys know who I'm talking about.
Right.
So I've been watching him for over a year now and everything. And every now and then, I don't usually write anything. I don't put my two cents in about anything out there a lot, which I know I need to do more of, but I just don't. So, you know, I really have feel for this guy because he gets so much flack, and here he is doing a service for everybody, right? And I was reading all these comments, and I thought, you know, as a society, we need to support one another. I mean, I don't care if this guy is right, wrong, or indifferent. He's doing what he believes, but he's doing it to be of service, and he never claimed to be an expert or anything else. And so this one guy pipes in, you know, kind of whining about the fact that, you know, he had contacted him and he wasn't calling him back and he was in his neighborhood and the least he could do was stop by, and how, you know, it was all about how fame had gotten to him and everything. Well, you know what? Inside, I was like, okay, I've had enough already. So I wrote something and said, stop it. did you ever think that he didn't, he may never have even seen your post, and that he's only human? Give the guy a break. He can't be everywhere. Which I really didn't think was really all that bad. But you know what? Inside the energy that I had, I was angry when I said it. And oh my God, the guy ended up writing back, and it was scathing. I mean, just absolutely scathing, you know, called me an asshole and the whole nine yards and everything else. And just really, I hit a button. And when I looked at everything else that everybody wrote out there, I thought, how could this be, you know? But then when I examined my own behavior, I knew I was wrong. He felt my energy, and I thought, so what can I do about this, right? So I don't know if you guys are familiar with, and I'm probably not going to say this right, but it's Ho'oponopono. I don't know if you guys read about this Hawaiian doctor who cured this whole criminally insane mental institution but never saw a patient.
Right, I've heard of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard of Ho'oponopono.
So energetically, I just put out there and I just said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And I actually did that so sincerely. I really did. Well, about 2 days later, my husband's on the internet. And he's going, hey, buddy, this is for you. There's a video out here about you. And I went, what? Well, he still was so upset. He actually did a YouTube video of his own, trying to explain himself and how he really was his friend and how much flack he had gotten, you know, and that kind of thing. So I did. I went ahead and wrote him a letter and everything to make sure that he actually heard my apology as well. But the whole thing that amazed me about this is that, I mean, what I said really was not that big of a deal. I didn't attack his character, but I did say, stop it, you know? But it was the energy that I had that came through.
And he picked up on it. So, yeah. I do readings and the tarot readings, and so many of the people that I've been reading lately have their empathic abilities are just exploding. They're opening up in tremendous ways, and I'm seeing this as one of the first visible signs of a change in our physiology and a change in our in the way humanity actually operates on the planet. The first step towards that unity consciousness, because once all our can you imagine if all our empathic abilities are fully open, no one can lie.
Yeah.
Nobody could lie to each other. If no one could lie to each other on this planet, if with what somebody said carried the truth vibration with it, or the falsehood vibration with it, that would be picked up immediately by everybody who has their empathic abilities open. Oh wow, that would, you know, there we go. We have that world that I'm looking for.
Yeah,
but it has to start like this through experience, right? Just the same thing that I had just expressed on my little experience there was that, you know, I thought because I wasn't saying something that was so bad that it was okay. I was being proper, but no, my energy wasn't proper. I wasn't coming from the right place. And that got felt so much. I mean, when I saw his video, I felt him. Do you see?
Right.
So that's how it's going to work. So even the best of us are not always the best at all times either. So
exactly.
You kind of give yourself a break too. Right?
Yeah. So does the energy match the words? You know, and that's what empathy is all about. You know, when in communication anyways, you know, whether or not, and, you know, there's people that, they can sniff out the truth, right? They can really, you know what I'm talking about. When somebody's telling you a bald-faced lie, you just know it. Somewhere inside you, you know it, because the energy that they're putting out with what they're is coming out of their mouth does not match.
That's why the expression is, it smells like BS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, or I can smell a rat, a dirty rat.
Yeah, exactly.
The lie, right? Or, you know, the energy was so thick you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? You walk into a room, you feel that thing, you don't really know. It's kind of like, ooh, what's going on here? You know, it's like your subconscious says that to yourself, and all your little warning flags go up, and you even stiffen up when you come into the room, and you feel like you have to tiptoe, you know?
Or with me is also when someone walks behind me and I feel their energy, and it's like a kind of like a cold shiver up your spine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, Ramon, that remember that was your fear. That was you worrying about somebody smacking you.
No, I mean it happens. It happens to me a lot with just certain people. That way, everybody, but certain people's just energy just really, like, kind of freak me out.
And but, some people are more into it than others. And but what I do believe is happening, again, in this age of awakening, is everybody is tuning into the frequency. It's like everything's getting bumped up a notch.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot more anger and despair and all those kinds of things. And when I think about what I went through during this process, oh my gosh, you want to talk about boot camp, you know, and getting your butt kicked, you know, everybody's butt's going to get kicked here real soon. So it's going to be the ebbs and flows, and the light workers doesn't mean that they're all, you know, happy faced and, you know, love and everything is wonderful. The light workers are the ones that are carrying the light to show other people the way and help them along. They come first so that they can lend that hand to say, look, I've been there, right? So that's what you guys are. Look, I've been there. I'm still going through it. And having these conversations like you do in your show is what's that beacon of light, right?
Yeah, but we're definitely still doing the work. We still have, you know, I mean, I know I do. Ramon might be perfect already, but I know I am still working on Tom, you know, and it's, you know, it's a constant process that, you know, although I am almost as perfect as Ramon is now, but I still have things I'm working on.
The only thing that's perfect in my completely perfect that I don't need to work on anymore is my barbecue sauce. Other than that,
yeah,
I'm still working on things.
Ooh, too bad you couldn't spread that to the internet, huh?
Yeah, and that's not even true.
So, you know, we were talking
about my philosophy on that is, if you're still in your physical vehicle, you haven't reached perfection yet.
Yeah, true.
Right?
Something like that. So we mentioned energy and stuff and the stars and how different things have the different positions and everything have different effects on us and you know, there's something that I've come to kind of understand for myself anyways is you know, we're this solar system and this boggles my mind. Our solar system is traveling like 600,000 miles an hour around the galaxy, let alone how fast our planet moves around the sun and just the orbit of our planet. We're going 1,000 miles an hour right now as we're sitting here. We're traveling 1,000 miles an hour just in the orbit of the planet or the rotation of the planet itself. So we're constantly moving through our universe and through our galaxy. And our solar system, it kind of undulates up and down above the ecliptic of the galaxy. And at that ecliptic, as we're passing, as we pass that ecliptic on in that undulating path, we're going into a different polarity. Now, you're looking at the way electromagnetism works with the negative and the positive poles. As we travel from one side of the ecliptic to the other side of the ecliptic, we're actually moving into a different polarity. Now, that this whole center band that we've been in for a while here has kind of a neutral or a variable type polarity. It bounces around quite a bit, but we're moving into the other polarity, and it'll stabilize in that other polarity. Now, that's going to change our physiology. That's going to change who and what we are, or who or what we perceive ourselves as, and what we're able to do. What is it, 83% of dormant DNA or junk DNA, whatever you want to call it, does that all come active as we move into this other polarity? And our electromagnetic bodies, our physiology, you know, some of those things get the correct charge they need from the universe to become active and open up different aspects of who we are. Now, our future's exciting. Our future's exciting.
It is. Absolutely. I'm really bent. It's funny that you bring that whole electromagnetic aspect up, because I think that there's some really good stuff out there by Manly P. Hall, by the way. If anybody can get a hold of his work and read his work, I highly recommend it.
What's
in
his name
regards
again?
To this?
Manly P. Hall. There's a ton of stuff on YouTube on him.
Yeah, there is. There's some good talks out there. He's, you know, not with us physically anymore, but at any rate, really great guy in regards to that.
You know, he was a 33.
A lot of things.
He was a 33rd degree Mason.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Manly P. But he was a very conscious being.
Yeah.
So, I believe what's going to happen is that we're going to understand that more and now know how to use it appropriately, right? The whole thing of how, you know, what attracts one repels another. Think of a magnet, right? Like, actually, repels and opposites attract. But we're not just one polarity. We're all of the polarities. I believe this is what, you know, the whole, our chakras and our bodies give off and shift at various different times, just as our words do, based on our emotions, that our emotions also have a polarity. And I believe that we've been living in an imbalance right now. If you look at, to me, the empirical evidence is what we're seeing right now happening in the world, right? Where there is power over versus power with, and there are people on this planet, the powers that wanna be, I think, as Kathy said, right?
Yeah.
That are using power over and using fear. And that's a great imbalance. And I believe that those scales are going to come in balance, just like the male and the female, that we're going to no longer eventually require this world of duality, positive and negative, in order to experience our own creations. And that's part of what's happening. And by the way, you talked about the cycles and things. You know, it takes 28 days for the moon to complete one cycle, 88 days for Mercury, 224 and about a half day for Venus, and it takes one complete year for the sun to go through the zodiac, and Mars takes 22 months, almost 2 years, to complete a complete cycle. Jupiter is 12. Saturn is 28 to 30 years. Uranus is 84. Neptune is like about 165, I think. And Pluto's 248. So now think about that in regards to what affects you most are the and goes through the most changes are those planets that are closest to you, right? In terms, and so the Moon, Mercury, Venus, obviously the Sun and Mars are the ones that are going to affect you at a personal level. To kind of bring it back to astrology. And the other planets, often referred to as the outer planets, they have more of a, you know, the community, the generational kind of effect on you. They still affect you personally, but because they take so long to go through a particular sign, they will affect entire generations, right?
Right.
But again, those planets will appear in different places on your chart. And each of those 12 houses are kind of like a stage, right? The first one has to do with all about you, how you see yourself, how other people see yourself. The second is money. The third is communication. And you go around the chart, and each one of the 12 houses means something. So that's the reason why it affects us all differently. And I believe personally that the calendar for the whole thing about the Mayans, well, why did the calendar stop? Well, they never said it was going to be the end of the world. It's just they could see no further. And but that didn't mean it was the end of things. It meant it was only that they could not see any further. So right. I believe that we're going to be, that astrology will also be changing, that we will have new discoveries, and we will have new energies that will be coming in that we're all going to have to write the books about. That the right now we're relying on a lot of ancient information that has been, you know, over 5,000 years of information that has brought us to where we are today in regards to astrology. For example, I'm sure you guys have probably come across that, you know, we do not travel around the sun. We don't travel around it. We are not going around the sun. We are following the sun in a spiral.
Right.
You know, but up until, you know, the last, you know, 10 years, and it's still not even being taught in school as far as I know.
No.
It's definitely not, yeah.
So Kathy, or Claudia, I'm sorry. I did it too.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I've been going on and on.
I'm not as perfect as Ramon is, so you have to excuse me.
Whatever.
We're actually running out of time, sweetheart, and to cut you off, this is interesting stuff, but we want to thank you so much for calling in, and we will talk again soon.
Good stuff. Okay. And thank you subbing for me with George Kavassalis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and a really quick apology to some people that I know are still waiting for charts. Been going through my own little spiritual boot camp here, and for some reason computers weren't working. I'm finally now up. So I am going to get to all those requests I had out there.
Okay.
So couldn't make the electronics work, but it's working now, so watch
Great.
For it.
All right, Claudia, thanks a lot for calling in. Love you, sweetheart.
All righty. Okay, love you guys.
Love you, too.
Okay, well, Ramon.
We're done, so we got to say goodbye.
So, yeah, I want to thank everybody for joining us, everybody who called in. And, it's been a fun 2 hours. But, man, I'm actually, you know, I'm excited about the future. Excuse me. We all have our ups and downs, and we all have to you know, we go through our proverbial dark nights of the soul, and we always seem to bounce out of it, you know, especially if you're consciously looking to improve yourself, you're consciously looking to understand who and what you are, and you are consciously working on a better future for yourself and the rest of humanity. Things always come back around, and there's always a help out there if you look for it and you ask for it. So, keep your chin up and know that there is a ton of people out here who are growing and who have that loving heart, that caring heart, and really care for you and about you. And ask and you shall receive. So, anyways, guys, Ramon, oh, www.thehundredthmonkeyradio.com.
Brooks is coming up next, so make sure you stay tuned right here on BBS.
Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
The love you deny is the pain you carry. Good night. Good night. Thank you
all.
Good
night, everybody.
Yes, I. This song is called Be the Change, inspired by the words of Mahatma Gandhi, who lived for peace and not violence, and told us to be the change we wish to see in the world. Freedom's calling, I feel the fire that's deep inside us. Everybody wants change, but tell me who will guide us. To the leaders that pass away, put up your lighters. It's a beautiful struggle, but it cannot divide us. We're the ones that we've always been waiting for. See yourself in the mirror and open up the door. Walk through it and feel the love throughout your pores. Be the light, life's purpose is to feel joy. Metaphysical, lyrical, setting up the truth. The only one to make change is walking in your shoes. Be the example, don't complain about the news. Making music and serving the world with the loo. Now you can be the same, or you can be the change. Find strength from inside, break through the chains. No one to blame, nothing to prove. You create your reality, it's up to you.
Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Like Gandhi lived for peace,
aspire to be.
Someone who fights for the beliefs, like Martin Luther King,
aspire to be.
That love,
that light,
like Christ,
this life
for the moment in need.
And if you believe
in Jehovah,
Allah,
Buddha,
Krishna,
it's love to me.
Soul yearns for peace in a world that's flooded with war. History's littered with bodies scarred, trying to settle the score and maintain an archaic platform of power and greed. People fight for land out of survival and need. So I'm killing my television and I'm planting a seed to fill my head with knowledge that I'm seeing receive. Due to the media propaganda killing my creed. Oh, what don't kill me make me stronger, feeling strength when I bleed. Fighting for interest before it's attached to feet. They try to sell you anything in this world, nothing for free. Land, air, fire, and water, they keep up in the ante while the anti-proletariat told the powers to be. But we keep fighting, surviving and thriving, recycling and rhyming. We constantly incline and we see through the lying and prying. They tactically keep trying to keep you from asking the why.
Be the change that you wanna see in the world. Like Gandhi lived for peace,
aspire to be.
Someone who fights for the beliefs, like Martin Luther King,
aspire to be.
That love,
that light,
like Christ,
this life
for the moment in need.
And if you believe
in Jehovah,
Allah,
Buddha,
Krishna,
it's love to me.
We find solutions, different possibilities, creating organizations like Aspire to Be, inspiring young minds to see, building life skills, nurturing creativity, fulfilling the youth's basic needs, listening actively, teaching the tools to succeed, positive role models we plant to see, the roots drink the water which feed the trees, someone help me, giving back is my responsibility,
be the change that you wanna see in the world, like